Chapter 20. As you're perfect in that, apostrophe resumed Squeers, turning to the boy, go and look after my horse, and rub him down well, or I'll rub you down. The rest of the class, go and draw water up, till somebody tells you to leave off, for it's washing day tomorrow, and they want the coppers filled. Apostrophe, so saying, he dismissed the first class to their experiments in practical philosophy, and eyed Nicholas with a look, half cunning and half doubtful, as if he were not altogether certain what he might think of him by this time. That's the way we do it, Nickleby, apostrophe, he said, after a pause. Nicholas shrugged his shoulders in a manner that was scarcely perceptible, and said he saw it was. And a very good way it is too, apostrophe said Squeers. Now, just take them 14 little boys, and hear them some reading, because, you know, you must begin to be useful. Idling about here won't do. Apostrophe, Mr. Squeers said this, as if it had suddenly occurred to him, either that he must not say too much to his assistant, or that his assistant did not say enough to him in praise of the establishment. The children were arranged in a semicircle round the new master, and he was soon listening to their dull, drawling, hesitating recital of those stories of engrossing interest which are to be found in the more antiquated spelling books. In this exciting occupation, the morning lagged heavily on. At 1 o'clock, the boys, having previously had their appetites thoroughly taken away by stirabout and potatoes, sat down in the kitchen to some hard salt beef, of which Nicholas was graciously permitted to take his portion to his own solitary desk, to eat it there in peace. After this, there was another hour of crouching in the schoolroom and shivering with cold, and then school began again. It was Mr. Squeers' custom to call the boys together, and make a sort of report, after every half-yearly visit to the metropolis, regarding the relations and friends he had seen, the news he had heard, the letters he had brought down, the bills which had been paid, the accounts which had been left unpaid, and so forth. This solemn proceeding always took place in the afternoon of the day succeeding his return. Perhaps, because the boys acquired strength of mind from the suspense of the morning, or, possibly, because Mr. Squeers himself acquired greater sternness and inflexibility from certain warm potations in which he was wont to indulge after his early dinner. Be this as it may, the boys were recalled from house window, garden, stable, and cow yard, and the school were assembled in full conclave, when Mr. Squeers, with a small bundle of papers in his hand, and Mrs. S. following with a pair of canes, entered the room and proclaimed silence. Let any boy speak a word without leave, apostrophe said Mr. Squeers mildly, and I'll take the skin off his back. Apostrophe, this special proclamation had the desired effect, and a death-like silence immediately prevailed, in the midst of which Mr. Squeers went on to say, boys, I've been to London, and have returned to my family and you, as strong and well as ever. Apostrophe, according to half-yearly custom, the boys gave 3 feeble cheers at this refreshing intelligence. Such cheers. Sights of extra strength with the chill on. I have seen the parents of some boys, apostrophe continued Squeers, turning over his papers, and they're so glad to hear how their sons are getting on, that there's no prospect at all of their going away, which of course is a very pleasant thing to reflect upon, for all parties. Apostrophe, 2 or 3 hands went to 2 or 3 eyes when Squeers said this, but the greater part of the young gentlemen having no particular parents to speak of, were wholly uninterested in the thing one way or other. I have had the appointments to contend against, apostrophe said Squeers, looking very grim. Boulder's father was 2 pound 10 short. Where is Boulder? Apostrophe, here he is. Please, sir, apostrophe rejoined 20 officious voices. Boys are very like men to be sure. Come here, Boulder, apostrophe said Squeers. An unhealthy-looking boy, with warts all over his hands, stepped from his place to the master's desk, and raised his eyes imploringly to Squeers' face, his own, quite white from the rapid beating of his heart. Boulder, apostrophe said Squeers, speaking very slowly, for he was considering, as the saying goes, where to have him. Boulder, if your father thinks that because why, what's this, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, a Squeers spoke. He caught up the boy's hand by the cuff of his jacket, and surveyed it with an edifying aspect of horror and disgust. What do you call this, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, demanded the schoolmaster, administering a cut with the cane to expedite the reply. I can't help it, indeed, sir, apostrophe rejoined the boy, crying. They will come. It's the dirty work, I think, sir. At least I don't know what it is, sir, but it's not my fault. Apostrophe, Boulder, apostrophe said Squeers, tucking up his wristbands, and moistening the palm of his right hand to get a good grip of the cane. You're an incorrigible young scoundrel, and as the last thrashing did you no good, we must see what another will do towards beating it out of you. Apostrophe, with this, and wholly disregarding a piteous cry for mercy, Mr. Squeers fell upon the boy, and caned him soundly. Not leaving off, indeed, until his arm was tired out. There, apostrophe said Squeers, when he had quite done, rub away as hard as you like, you won't rub that off in a hurry. Oh, you won't hold that noise, won't you? Put him out, Smike. Apostrophe, the drudge knew better from long experience than to hesitate about obeying, so he bundled the victim out by a side door, and Mr. Squeers perched himself again on his own stool, supported by Mrs. Squeers, who occupied another at his side. Now let us see, apostrophe said Squeers. A letter for Cobby. Stand up, Cobby. Apostrophe, another boy stood up, and eyed the letter very hard, while Squeers made a mental abstract of the same. Oh! Apostrophe apostrophe said Squeers. Cobby's grandmother is dead, and his uncle John has took to drinking, which is all the news his sister sends, except 18 pence, which will just pay for that broken square of glass. Mrs. Squeers, my dear, will you take the money? Apostrophe, the worthy lady pocketed the 18 pence with a most businesslike air, and Squeers passed on to the next boy, as coolly as possible. Gramersh, apostrophe said Squeers, he's the next. Stand up, Gramersh. Apostrophe, another boy stood up, and the schoolmaster looked over the letter as before. Gramersh's maternal aunt, apostrophe said Squeers, when he had possessed himself of the contents, is very glad to hear he's so well and happy, and sends her respectful compliments to Mrs. Squeers, and thinks she must be an angel. She likewise thinks Mr. Squeers is too good for this world, but hopes he may long be spared to carry on the business. Would have sent the 2 pair of stockings as desired, but is short of money, so forwards a tract instead, and hopes Gramersh will put his trust in Providence. Hopes, above all, that he will study in everything to please Mr. and Mrs. Squeers, and look upon them as his only friends, and that he will love Master Squeers, and not object to sleeping 5 in a bed, which no Christian should. Ah! Apostrophe said Squeers, folding it up, a delightful letter. Very affecting indeed. Apostrophe, it was affecting in one sense, for Gramersh's maternal aunt was strongly supposed, by her more intimate friends, to be no other than his maternal parent. Squeers, however, without alluding to this part of the story which would have sounded immoral before boys, proceeded with the business by calling out mobs, apostrophe whereupon another boy rose, and Gramersh resumed his seat. Mop's stepmother, apostrophe said Squeers, took to her bed on hearing that he wouldn't eat fat, and has been very ill ever since. She wishes to know, by an early post, where he expects to go to, if he quarrels with his victuals, and with what feelings he could turn up his nose at the cow's liver broth, after his good master had asked a blessing on it. This was told her in the London newspapers, not by Mr. Squeers, for he is too kind, and too good to set anybody against anybody, and it has vexed her so much, Mops can't think. She is sorry to find he is discontented, which is sinful and horrid, and hopes Mr. Squeers will flog him into a happier state of mind. With which view, she has also stopped his halfpenny a week pocket money, and given a double-bladed knife with a corkscrew in it to the missionaries, which she had bought on purpose for him. Apostrophe, a sulky state of feeling, apostrophe, said Squeers, after a terrible pause, during which he had moistened the palm of his right hand again, won't do. Cheerfulness and contentment must be kept up. Mops, come to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mops moved slowly towards the desk, rubbing his eyes in anticipation of good cause for doing so, and he soon afterwards retired by the side door, with as good cause as a boy need have. Mr. Squeers then proceeded to open a miscellaneous collection of letters, some enclosing money, which Mrs. Squeers took care of. Apostrophe and others referring to small articles of apparel, as caps and so forth, all of which the same lady stated to be too large, or too small, and calculated for nobody but young Squeers, who would appear indeed to have had most accommodating limbs, since everything that came into the school fitted him to a nicety. His head, in particular, must have been singularly elastic, for hats and caps of all dimensions were alike to him. This business dispatched, a few slovenly lessons were performed, and Squeers retired to his fireside, leaving Nicholas to take care of the boys in the schoolroom, which was very cold, and where a meal of bread and cheese was served out shortly after dark. There was a small stove at that corner of the room which was nearest to the master's desk, and by it Nicholas sat down, so depressed and self-degraded by the consciousness of his position, that if death could have come upon him at that time, he would have been almost happy to meet it. The cruelty of which he had been an unwilling witness, the coarse and ruffianly behavior of Squeers even in his best moods, the filthy place, the sights and sounds about him, all contributed to this state of feeling, but when he recollected that, being there as an assistant, he actually seemed, no matter what unhappy train of circumstances had brought him to that pass, to be a hater and a better of a system which filled him with honest disgust and indignation, he loathed himself, and felt, for the moment, as though the mere consciousness of his present situation must, through all time to come, prevent his raising his head again. But, for the present, his resolve was taken, and the resolution he had formed on the preceding night remained undisturbed. He had written to his mother and sister, announcing the safe conclusion of his journey, and saying as little about Dotheboys Hall, and saying that little as cheerfully, as he possibly could. He hoped that by remaining where he was, he might do some good, even there. At all events, others depended too much on his uncle's favor, to admit of his awakening his wrath just then. One reflection disturbed him far more than any selfish considerations arising out of his own position. This was the probable destination of his sister Kate. His uncle had deceived him, and might he not consign her to some miserable place, where her youth and beauty would prove a far greater curse than ugliness and decrepitude? To a caged man, bound hand and foot, this was a terrible idea, but no, he thought, his mother was by. There was the portrait painter, too simple enough, but still living in the world, and of it. He was willing to believe that Ralph Nickleby had conceived a personal dislike to himself. Having pretty good reason, by this time, to reciprocate it, he had no great difficulty in arriving at this conclusion, and tried to persuade himself that the feeling extended no farther than between them. As he was absorbed in these meditations, he all at once encountered the upturned face of Smike, who was on his knees before the stove, picking a few stray cinders from the hearth and planting them on the fire. He had paused to steal a look at Nicholas, and when he saw that he was observed, shrunk back, as if expecting a blow. "You need not fear me," apostrophe said Nicholas kindly. "Are you cold?" Apostrophe, NNO apostrophe, "You are shivering." Apostrophe, "I am not cold," apostrophe replied Smike quickly. "I am used to it." Apostrophe, there was such an obvious fear of giving offense in his manner, and he was such a timid, broken-spirited creature, that Nicholas could not help exclaiming, "Poor fellow!" Apostrophe apostrophe, if he had struck the drudge, he would have slunk away without a word. But now, he burst into tears. Oh dear, oh dear. Apostrophe apostrophe, he cried, covering his face with his cracked and horny hands. My heart will break. It will, it will. Apostrophe, hush. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Nicholas, laying his hand upon his shoulder. Be a man. You are nearly one by years. God help you. Apostrophe, by years. Apostrophe apostrophe, cried Smike. Oh dear, dear, how many of them? How many of them, since I was a little child, younger than any that are here now? Where are they all? Apostrophe, whom do you speak of? Apostrophe apostrophe, inquired Nicholas, wishing to rouse the poor half-witted creature to reason. Tell me. Apostrophe, my friends, apostrophe, he replied, myself, my oh, what sufferings mine have been. Apostrophe apostrophe, there is always hope, apostrophe, said Nicholas. He knew not what to say. No, apostrophe, rejoined the other, no, none for me. Do you remember the boy that died here? Apostrophe apostrophe, I was not here, you know, apostrophe, said Nicholas gently, but what of him? Apostrophe, why, apostrophe, replied the youth, drawing closer to his questioner's side, I was with him at night, and when it was all silent he cried no more for friends. He wished to come and sit with him, but began to see faces round his bed, that came from home. He said they smiled, and talked to him, and he died at last lifting his head to kiss them. Do you hear? Apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe, rejoined Nicholas. What faces will smile on me when I die? Apostrophe apostrophe, cried his companion, shivering. Who will talk to me in those long nights? They cannot come from home. They would frighten me if they did, for I don't know what it is, and shouldn't know them. Pain and fear for me, alive or dead. No hope, no hope. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.